From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block. Tomorrow is Veterans Day. It was originally called Armistice Day, marking the 11th day of the 11th month.
Over there, send the word over there, that the Yanks are coming, the Yanks are coming, the drum, drum coming everywhere. So prepare, say a prayer.
That was the day in 1918 when, at the 11th hour, the guns fell silent in Europe and the Americans who'd gone over there could come home. In the 88 years since, most of those men have fallen silent as well. More than 4 million Americans served in the First World War. Only 14 are still alive. The youngest is 106, the oldest 115. Today we'll hear from some of them. Independent producer Will Everett made it his mission to interview as many of the survivors of the First World War as he could find.
I spent half the year traveling across the country to interview these men. Along the way, I encountered a lot of people who would say, "Oh, my dad," or "My grandpa was in the war," until they realized that I was talking about the other war, the one in 1917, almost 90 years ago. At 112 years old, George Johnson was the oldest man in California when I interviewed him in May. He lived alone in the house that he and his late wife had built in the Bay Area in 1930. He was living in Philadelphia in 1917 when his number came up.
We saw this note under the door. Father picked it up and looked at it. It was a letter from the government, from a draft notice, for me to report 6 o'clock in the morning. That was the next morning.
In August, I met 110-year-old Ernest J. Pusey in Bradenton, Florida, a soft-spoken man who worked most of his life at General Motors and is now older than GM itself. When the war broke out, he chose to enlist in the Navy.
I enlisted when I was 21. I enlisted in the Navy because I didn't want to be in the trenches. If you're in the Navy, you're out of the trenches.
In Bethesda, Maryland, I found Lloyd Brown, a 105-year-old veteran. When the First World War started, he was only 16, so he lied about his age to get into the Navy.
I was 16, but I told him I was 18. I was 2 years younger than my record shows. They sent me to Great Lakes, Illinois for a little basic training, maybe 30 days. Then they put me on a battleship, New Hampshire. One of my ship's duties was to look for submarines. That was our job. Most all the young people were doing it at that time. When we went into the war, why, it was quite a popular thing for a young man to do, is to enlist during the war. That's why I went in, because a lot of other young people like myself were going in. Very popular among the young ladies, too, and I wasn't following the war very much.
The Office of Veterans Affairs had a list of veterans, but it was fragmentary. Their record center burned down in the 1970s, and most of their World War I files went up in flames. I didn't have 106-year-old Samuel Goldberg on my list, but during my search, he happened to phone the VA to find out if any of his cavalry buddies were left. He was told that not only were his buddies gone, he was the last cavalry soldier left. He served along the U.S.-Mexico border, defending the U.S. against a possible German invasion from the south.
I said, "What the hell? Look at all these guys, 18, 19, 20, 21. I'm going to join the Army." I went to the recruiting office. I understood that they could use Signal Corps. That's a dangerous spot. You're up there giving signals, and they shoot at you. It occurred to me, here was the dangerous part of being the soldier. That's for me. So I go downtown, and I say, "I want to join the Army, and I want to join the Signal Corps." And the recruiting sergeant, pretty smart guy, he said, "Nah, join the cavalry." Cavalry? Horses? Hey, wait a minute. I have no experience with horses.
Quite a few of the veterans I met lied about their age to get in. If you served in 1917 and were of legal age, you'd be 110 years old by now. Frank Buckles is 105, but in 1917 he was only 16 when he joined the ambulance corps.
I went to the recruiting station. The sergeant there said, "If you want to get to France in a hurry, join the ambulance corps because the French are asking for ambulance service.
Only three veterans are left who witnessed the horrors of the trenches. 108-year-old Howard Ramsey was a taxi driver in Portland, Oregon when he joined up.
Nobody drove. We had teach one of those guys how to drive. Those guys couldn't drive a nail. And we had to teach them how to drive, and we were under shell fire half the time, and it wasn't very pleasant, I'll tell you.
Another trench veteran is 110-year-old Tony Piero of Swampscott, Massachusetts. He's the last living American veteran to have seen action at the bloody Meuse and Argonne offensives, where an average of 1,000 Americans died each day in the 3 weeks of fighting.
I wasn't afraid to get killed. I'd go through anything. But I came back. I came out alive and well. A lot of the fellows, they lost an arm, a leg. Thank God I came out alive.
Segregation was strictly practiced in the military during the First World War, with black soldiers being used mostly in service capacities. The black soldiers were used to clean up the battlefields and gather the remains of the dead. 114-year-old Moses Hardy, the last surviving African-American veteran, wouldn't talk about his wartime experiences. But his son, Haywood Hardy, recalled that his father suffered post-traumatic stress disorder for years after he got back from France.
He used to fall out, walk along and fall out, like faint. And then he'd lay there a while and get up and go ahead on. But as he got older, he didn't do that no more.
I embarked on this mission to find the last veterans of World War I because it was a war we don't hear much about anymore. I wanted to know what it was like to have lived before the invention of the airplane and beyond the advent of the Internet. People have mostly forgotten about these veterans and their long-ago war. Not that the veterans seem to mind. Much has happened in the nearly 90 years since the armistice, and these vets have moved with the times. 109-year-old Homer Anderson summed it up best.
Well, I had enough war. I don't want any more.
Over there, send the word over there. That the Sammies are coming, the Sammies are coming. The drums, drums coming everywhere. So prepare, say a prayer. Send the word to beware. We'll be over, we're coming over.
I'm Will Everett for NPR News.
Will Everett is the producer of a two-hour public radio program called the World War I Living History Project. It will be broadcast this weekend on NPR stations across the country. To see pictures and video of the First World War veterans heard in the story, go to npr.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.